enjoyed the songs and the song service. In fact, my wife and I were singing that song, Beulah Land, on our way here. And she said, well, do you think you want to sing it? And I said, well, I don't now. Because I think she did a great job on it, and it's so reflected what we're looking for. Paul said in one place, the Apostle Paul said in one place, that I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered in to the heart of man, those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you know, we get a little bit of a glimpse of it from the book of the Revelation. I think whenever that you read it, not John described it just as best as he could, because I think there was such an overwhelming presence of God that even whenever that he saw the Lord, whom he knew, he said, I fell down at his feet as dead. He said it was just so overwhelming. And I believe that it will be for us, but we'll be changed and we will be likened unto him. I think these mortal bodies will have to be changed because of the glory is going to be so, as we said, overwhelming, that we'll have to have a change where that we could be able to endure it. And not just endure, but be able to last in its presence throughout all of eternity. And you know, with all that being said, I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Thankful to be in God's house with God's redeemed. You are saints of God. Now, someone will say, well, I don't feel like a saint. Well, no, that doesn't matter. You've been bought by the blood. You're a saint of God. He's purchased you. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what may happen or take place or unexpected problems or trials, anything like that, you are a child of God. And nothing can change that, because it was done eternally by an eternal sacrifice, an eternal high priest, and it's an eternal salvation. You and I cannot touch it. It's reserved and it's set there and sealed by the hand of God. And so you're saints, and we're so glad that God made the plan of salvation the way that he did. Was grateful for the Sunday school afterward last Sunday, and also the not-so-newlywed game. I was thankful I wasn't asked any questions and put on the spot. But on the way home, there was, and wasn't interrogation, just kind of like, well, what would you have said? What would you have said about this? And she said, now, you would have known our anniversary, wouldn't you? And I said, well, it's between January and December, and I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment on that. So, but I'm so glad for that. It's a way of trying to enhance, you know, marriage. And the marriage bond and covenant was the first thing that God did in the Garden of Eden. And then from there, all the covenants, all the dispensations and everything kind of emanated from that. So we're truly glad and truly thankful for all of it. If you have your Bible with you, we want to encourage you to turn with us to the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Now, Luke and Matthew almost read identical for those passages that we're going to read. Mark just kind of goes right through it. Said Jesus was tempted and was with the wild beast in the wilderness, and then he goes right on in to Jesus' ministry. But this looks at the temptation that Jesus went through. He had just been baptized, by John the Baptist. He had gone into the wilderness for about 40 days. And you know, when you look at the term or the amount of time there, 40 as a significant number. Moses was with God in Mount Sinai for about 40 days, being in the presence of God, receiving the law of God. And we find other places where it talks about 40 days. And so after this time of fasting, time alone with his father, we find that he faces a great obstacle. And beginning with the first verse, we find these words. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power, all this authority, all that you see, everything that is contained as far as wealth and value in this world, he said, I will give to you. And he said, The glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And Jesus answered, If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is written, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed for him. But notice what it says, those last three words, he departed from him for a season. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 13th verses of the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Luke. And we want to take for a text for us, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you want to mark that or read that later, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That would be our lesson text, and along with the verses of scripture that we've read in your hearing. And probably already you know what our thought or our subject is going to be concerning. It's concerning temptation, where it comes from, what happens if we give in to it, and how that we can escape it. Now, we don't necessarily escape it because Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Just the time that you think you get through one temptation, one trial, here comes another, and here comes another, and here comes another. And we find that temptation is referred to in many different ways. First of all, temptation in the scriptures is referred to as a type of trial, as a type of testing. We find that God does not tempt men with evil, but He may try us, try our faith, strengthen our faith, strengthen us. Now, the other type of temptation is that that comes from the wicked one, the one who is in this world, the one that the writer says in one place is the prince of the power of the air. And yes, he is very real today. There's no doubt about it. We can look at our world and we can tell and we can see, you know, the different things that are taking place that are getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm not here today to give credit unto Satan, but today to encourage you that when you are tempted, there is a way of escape. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus had just been baptized. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. And there's a roadblock that comes. Now, why did Satan try to tempt him? Why did he bring these things before him? Why did he come to him and say, all of these things, these three things I'll give unto you, or you can do if you just listen to me? Well, the Bible tells us over in the book of Genesis that he did the same thing to the first Adam. And whenever that God told Adam not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan comes unto Eve. Now, I want to dispel something that I used to kind of hear whenever I was a kid. They used to tell me that sin came through Eve, that if it hadn't been for Eve, that there would be no sin in the world. But you read into that a little bit further, and sin did not come the moment that Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it came whenever that Adam did. Because you see, the responsibility, the head of this, was the federal head of all of this that God created, was Adam. And Adam had the law given unto him. Now, if he had ate it first, yes, sin would have entered. And then on down to Eve. But it passed, the Bible tells us, by one man in the fifth chapter of the book of the Roman letter. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so whenever that he deceived, what he did, he tempted Eve and deceived her. He told him, you know, told her, you know, God has done all of this, and now he's put this tree here, and now he's told you, you can't partake of it, or you can't eat of the fruit thereof, and God's trying to hide something from you. He's not doing you well, and you know, that's just the way that Satan will work on us if we're not careful, if we don't recognize it. Why, God's trying, God wants you to have the best, but he's kind of cheating you. He's kind of shortchanging you. He's kind of letting it down at this point. And, you know, he got her to looking at it, and it was beautiful. There was something about it that was glistening. It was not evil. Evil never looks like evil whenever you encounter it. Did you know that? It'd be great if Satan looked like what they depict him as, in a red suit with a long forked tail and a pitchfork or whatever in his hands. You know, that'd be great. But the Bible says sometimes that Satan appears as an angel of light. Very reasonable. And he reasons, and he bargains, and he promises to give things that really are not for him to give. Yes, he's the prince of the power of this world, but I want you to know whatever he possesses, he has stolen by deceit. So it's not him. It's like a guy that, I'm not against real estate, I'm married to one right here, but it's like somebody that would be in real estate or business or whatever saying, hey, you know what? I've got some land down in Florida that I'll sell to you. Go ahead and just pay me right now.
And you go down there and there's no land. There's nothing. And I want you to know that that's what Satan does. He promises you that he will give you, or that you can have the very best. That you can have all of it. But then whenever that you really get to studying about it today, it's not his to give. He has stolen it. He has temporary possession of it. But in the end, my friend, he will relinquish that. He will give that up because, as we preached last Sunday, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come and take his rightful place over this world, over this earth. And so we find that the Bible tells us that he comes to Jesus, and what he is trying to prevent, he's trying to prevent Calvary from happening. He knows that if Jesus fulfills what he was sent into the world to do, to pay a ransom through his blood and through his death and his resurrection, Satan knows that he's lost inevitably the battle. Because then he had men's souls, women's souls, within a death grip. And my friend, when Jesus came, he died upon the cross. He broke the power of sin, death, and hell. I want you to know today, my friend, the way is open unto someone who wants to be saved. The way is open to come unto God through Jesus Christ. And my friend, I know this is not politically correct, but I want you to know he's the only way into heaven today. He's not an option. He's not one of several. He's not one of like, well, here's what you'll get with this Savior. Here's what you'll get with this Savior. I want to tell you, the only one who has the power of eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one, my friend, that can redeem men. The only one that when he comes back, he's going to straighten out all the politics, all the theology, everything, my friend, that's a mess right now. Someone will say, I used to visit with this old minister. I shouldn't call him old at this point in my life, but anyway, it was an older minister, and we would talk about the end time. Now, we had a little bit of a difference of opinion. I felt this way about what would happen, and he felt another way, but we all came to the conclusion that Christ was coming back. And he said, you know what, Brother Kofer, when Jesus comes back, he's going to straighten out everybody's theology. Nobody will be able to say that they never knew about this way, because it will be proclaimed unto all. But we find today that he wanted to prevent Calvary from occurring. And he knew that if he could get, he thought within himself, if he could get Jesus to give in, my friend, to these temptations, it would tear down the whole plan of God to redeem man from sin. He knew that. He knew that that was the only way to stop men from having the hope of an eternal home in heaven. And so he appealed unto Jesus by taking him up unto a high place and saying, you know, if you'll cast yourself down, look at how he presents it to him. Think whenever that you're tempted, how that Satan presents it unto you. If you will just cast yourself down, men will believe, and you won't have to go through the cross. You won't have to pay the debt that is needed. Just think, they see you coming down and landing carefully upon the ground. Why, you know, Jesus, that they'll believe. They'll believe in you. But you know, that's not how faith comes. It doesn't always come the seeing eye route. Because if it's entirely the seeing eye route, it's not faith. It's not hope. And then we find that he appeals to him through the sensual. You're hungry, Jesus. Boy, that's great. What you did, 40 days and 40 nights. You even outdid Moses. But you're hungry, aren't you? You need something that will sustain you now. You're hungry now. And you know what? I know that you have the power that you can take these stones and you can turn them into bread. You don't have to go into Jerusalem. You don't have to go into the market bazaar. Just turn that stone into bread.
But you know what? One of the first things that Jesus did as an example unto us in temptation, he said, it is written. Everything that Jesus quoted whenever he confronted Satan in Matthew and in Luke, he quoted from Deuteronomy. Did you know that? The sixth chapter, actually. And he said, it is written. He used scripture. My friend, I want to tell you something. If you've got your heart, you've got your mind full of the Word of God, God will give you the weapon that you need whenever that Satan comes up against you. Now, you may not like the answer. You may not like what God gives you. But I want you to know that He will, as we said in your hearing, He will provide a way of escape. And He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew goes on and adds to it. And he said, but from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're not just animals. I want you to know that we were created in the image of God, in the image of Adam. We've got a twofold being about us. We've got this outward part, but we've got a soul also. And that soul hungers for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the preaching of the gospel. I want to tell you, my friend, it's pretty easy in the day and age in which that we live for us to suffer from spiritual malnutrition. And whenever I point a finger, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular, because you see, there's see those three? Look at who they're pointing at. Look at who they're pointing at. We don't live by bread alone. We don't live by satisfying the flesh alone, my friend. That's not what God created man for. He didn't create us that we would give in to the flesh, because there is where that Satan can cause a big breach of your relationship with God. My friend, Hollywood, this culture, I don't know. My friend, I fear, and I'm not here to be a critic, but I'll tell you what, from the time that I was a teenager to now, I am astounded that it is the way that it is. And my friend, I heard a preacher say one time, if it keeps on going the way that it is, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Now, I don't know about that, but I do know that it must be getting pretty close to what it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, if it isn't already. We're not to live by bread alone. We're not to satisfy the flesh desires and the lusts and things like that. That's not what God created man for. He created him that he might live and have communion and a closeness to God. And Satan works to tear that apart. God works to bring it and keep it together. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me. And then Satan comes at him and he says, and he takes him up to a high pinnacle. Some say that it was a mountain outside of Jericho and Jerusalem that was about 1,200 feet to 1,500 feet. I don't know, but it was a high pinnacle. High enough that all of a sudden Satan made all the wealth appear before. All the wealth, all the kingdoms, all the cities, all the countries. And he said, Jesus, you don't have to worry about coming back to establish your kingdom. You can have it right now. And that's another aspect of this. Satan will say to you, you can have your fun and you can have this right now. But I want to tell you, sin has a consequence. And whenever temptation goes so far, give in to sin. Sin will take a person a lot farther than what they want to go. And there are people today in eternal separation from God that can verify that and tell you that. But he made all of the kingdoms appear before him. And we find that the Bible says that you can have all of this.
Isn't that what he's saying to young people today? Isn't that what he's saying to the world, our society? You can have all. Now, there's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong. As long as it's not the tail wagging the dog. My friend, I think God gives us those things that we might be in a position to serve him. Look at Abraham. Abraham was one of the richest individuals that lived in that day and in time in the Ur of the Chaldees. I can't pronounce that, but anyway, Ur of the Chaldees. Very wealthy man. But I want you to know that at a moment's notice, he would have given it all over to God like that. In fact, he was ready to sacrifice his own son. And he gave a picture back in the Old Testament of God sending his son and not sparing his son, but offering him as a sacrifice. But my friend, there's a price to giving in to temptation for things like that, where that the price is you fall down and you worship Satan. And someone will say today, do you think that happens today? Yes. Maybe not in the sense that there's an idol or a big statue depicting Satan and they fall in front of it. But, you know, down in the heart, an individual can worship the God of this world and not realize that he's giving him or herself over to the prince of the power of this world. So he brought this before Jesus. He said, all you have to do, and I'll share it with you, Jesus, you can have all of it. Just bow down and worship me. That's what Satan has been doing ever since. He wants mankind to worship him in some way or in some fashion. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, you might say today, well, we're exposed to such temptations, preacher. What do we do? You know, we're kind of defeated before that we ever get started in serving God. What do we do? How do we overcome this? What can we do to avoid it? At some point in our life, we're all going to face some type of temptation, some way, somehow, some manner. And you know, it'll come in a way that we're not expecting it. Jesus knew whenever that Satan came for him, what he was there to do, to stop the cross. Well, we find today, my friend, that there are things that we can realize and we can do. Jesus was tempted in all points, likened unto us, yet without sin. We have an advocate with him. We have an advocate with Jesus, the great high priest. He was tempted in all points, but he did not sin. He presented himself, therefore, in sacrifice as a perfect whole sacrifice that had no taint. And you know, the best part about it is a child of God can go to him with whatever is in their heart and say, Lord, I'm facing this. I'm being tempted with this. I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not to do. Lord, what should I do? And I want you to know, like the song that says, the royal telephone central's never busy, always on the line. I'll tell you something, my friend, you're not going to get a voicemail from Jesus. My friend, he'll answer you. If you want the answer, if you want to know, he said, ask and it shall be given unto you. If you really want to know what to do when tempted, this isn't clear, Lord. I know that there's something about it that makes me uneasy. Show me, Lord, show me what I must do. Jesus will do it. And he will open up the way before you. We find that the Bible tells us that as Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, be aware that he's out there and that at any time you could be tempted. I could be tempted.
And you know, we need to be aware of his craftiness. We need to be aware of what he can do.
So what can we do? The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the Lord, the further away from Satan and the world. Do you know, whenever that you pray and draw nigh unto him, this world doesn't have its appeal. You want the things of God. You begin to fill your heart up with the scriptures and with everything that has to do with them. Songs that talk about a place called Beulah Land that God has gone and prepared for us. You'll want the things of God. Fill your heart with the scriptures. Jesus said in one place, search the scriptures, for in them you think eternal life. And he says, these are they that speak of me. Peter tells us over one place, he said, resist the devil, and he said, he'll flee from you. In other words, just put up a barrier that I know what you're trying to do here. And you know my frailties. And you know how you can come at me. And every one of us have that little crack in the door that Satan will try to put his foot in to try to get in, to try to get you. The whole thing centers around trying to get you to sin against God and break your relationship with him. He would love nothing more than the people of God to give in to the temptation of discouragement. Do you know Jesus said in one place, Elkton Church, you know what he said, I've overcome the world. He said, be not afraid, I have overcome the world. Oh, that you would get that down inside of the victory's been won. The victory is in him today. We find that we're to resist him as much as lies within us. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. You see something come on the channel or on the big screen, and you're just kind of shocked that they would show it. Don't sit there and try to examine it. Change the channel. I've watched sports channels or even, why in the Dickens? That they would put some of the things that they would onto the History Channel. I don't get that. But they will. And rather than sit there like trying to figure out why that it's there, hit that off button. Hit the off button to the world today who tries to tell you that right is wrong and now wrong is right. Hit that off button whenever that they try to tell you that it's now man and woman and this one and XXY and XXXX and right on down the line. What does the Bible say? Let's get back to the Bible. In the beginning, the Bible says he created them male and female. That's pretty straightforward. And it's not my plan, and I'm not here to criticize today, but my friend, the confusion can be overcome just by saying, what does God say about this? What does the Word of God teach us today? Resist the devil, and it says he'll flee from you. He says, resist and flee from youthful lust. And there's a lot of it that is out there today. And probably before this day is over, it'll be displayed everywhere. My friend, I want you to know, don't stand there and just look at it and think, I've got the strength within myself to overcome this. My friend, you do with Jesus, but listen to what the Bible says. Flee from youthful lust. And then give your alms unto him. Give your alms unto him. As you draw nigh to God, as you draw nigh to his word, give alms unto him. It says, well, I give to the poor, but you know it goes a lot deeper than that. Giving not just alms to the poor, which you have done, and I want to commend this church for doing it, because you are one of the few who are doing that, who are trying to reach out into the community. And I want to commend you on that. And keep on doing what you're doing, because you're scriptural. You're scriptural. But also, alms can be giving yourself unto the service of God, unto Him. Just reserving, this is what I am, Lord. This is the job that you called me to. I'm going to close, but there was a man that I became well acquainted with down in Nashville. One of the revivals that I held in the church. This man said, I know what my place is in this revival. You know, and I asked him. I said, well, what are you supposed to do? I mean, that's great. I'm glad God spoke to you about that. And he said, I'm to go to the back of the church where the entrance door is, and I'm to open, not only open the door to get people in, but he said to hold that door open so that those out on the sidewalks can hear what's being preached up here. You know, the Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And you know, I don't know if there was anybody affected by that, but that's what God told him to do. So as we close our few remarks today, temptation will come. Be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. Because it will come. And it says that there's none of us that have been tempted above that we're able to bear. But God, depending upon Him, God will provide a way of escape. If you look for the exit out of the situation, God will show you where the exit is. God will provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And the key to it is, why all of this? Is to keep your relationship and your standing with God. Sin separates not only the sinner, but sin can separate a child of God, and they don't even realize it. I would today that that would not happen to you. I would today that God would make you so strong and make you so close to Him that Satan could not get into any crevice, any way at all. God bless you is my prayer. I'm so thankful to be here today and for each and every one. I'm thankful today that God has made a way of escape. I'm thankful He's made a plan of salvation. I heard as I was in the foyer of someone that had been saved. And you know, that's great news. That's great news. That's wonderful news. That's one more that Satan doesn't have his soul. You know, and that's one more that Jesus has redeemed. That's blessed news. I wish they'd put that on CNN. Yeah. But He's still in the saving business. He can still say, He can save my friend. It doesn't matter who they are. He can still save them if they will come unto Him through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord.